Oh, Father God, we just come before you this morning. We ask blessings upon this service and upon Malcolm, that he faithfully brings the word that you want him to preach. And Lord God, I ask that it just blesses this whole church immensely. And Lord, just take care of Malcolm with his goal today. Precious Jesus, thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Yeah, I guess so. Well, I'll tell you. You know, we sang a song, More Love, More Power, More of You in My Life. And, you know, I hope that all of us, when we sing that, we're really asking God for that. Not just words, you know, not just singing the song. But I think so much so, words make a difference. Your thoughts, your attitudes are going to make a difference. And this being the first Sunday of the new year, usually we really end up getting, I wouldn't say prophetic utterance, but it's sort of along the lines of what to expect this year. I had a dream a few nights ago, and I had prayed before I had gone to sleep for a direction for the year. And during this dream that I had this dream that night, and during the dream there were these other people. I was in some kind of a room, there were people that were on my left side over here, and they had a number of books, and they were tearing out pages in the book and throwing it across the room. And it had the number 41 on it. Every single page had the number 41 on it. And here were all these, it started out a little bit, and then there was just more and more pages, more and more pages. And every single page had the number 41. So I ended up waking up, and I thought, what does that mean? You know? I went, it was probably about 3 in the morning or 3:30 in the morning. I woke up, and so I went out in the living room because I wanted to find out what that was and write it down. So there are numbers that God uses over and over again in the Bible, and they tend to, numbers have particular significances. So I thought, well, you know, like the number 7, number of completion, and there's other numbers that have particular types of meaning because over and over again it reinforces those particular ideas. So I looked up biblical significance for the number 41. And the number 41 happens to deal with lies and deceit. Lies and deceit. And so as I thought about the dream, and I think I mentioned this 2 or 3 sermons ago that I preached, just the whole thing about truth and lies and just the flood of lies. And that seemed to come back to me again, that this year the church needs to step up into a deeper, more committed prayer life and life committed to the Lord in spiritual battle, because the enemy is a liar. He is the father of lies, and I don't know what it is. I think it's going to come in every level of existence, whether it's on the political realm, whether it's in the religious realm or financial realm, there's going to be a flood of lies to persuade people, to deceive people, to bring people to a place of feeling inept, discouraged, a place that's going to bring you and I down if the enemy can do that. And we don't really realize the depth of what this is going to be like, because we haven't seen it to the depth that we're going to. Remember that scripture, it's in Jeremiah 12, it's verse 5. It says, if you have trouble running with the foot soldiers, what are you going to do when you have to run with the horses? You get the point of that. If it's wearisome, if it tires us out, if we don't want to be bothered, if this is something that we just don't want to have to deal with, and it's something where it's at one level, but the level is going to increase, how are we going to do this? And the level is going to increase. And God tells us this so that we reach into Him and be at a different place. A place that we can handle what is coming our way. I can say without any reservation, God is a God of grace. And that grace means that He showers that grace on His people. And that grace is His enabling power to give us the ability that we need to meet anything in this life. How many of you believe that? Do you believe that? Yes. And so there's what we're saying here, though things are going to increase in every level, every realm of this existence, increase where the darkness, where the lies, where the things of this life, where things that used to be thought of as good are now thought of as bad, and the things that are bad are thought of as good. Those things are already happening. You know, we can see that. We can see what the trends are. And the level of that is really going to, I think we're going to see that this year. In every realm, we're going to see that. And so we need to be people that don't have bad reactions, that don't become scared, that don't, give up. Yeah? But that we're people that continue to listen to the Lord, have our hope in the Lord, trust in the Lord, do His bidding, and not be turning our ears away from what God wants us to do. And that's what this is. That's what this message is really about today. So I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Excuse me. All right, everybody there? All right, verse 1 says this. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If there's anything that we need to walk at the end of it, of this age, is going to be the grace of God. Now, I want to get to something here, because it doesn't just happen by circumstance. And you'll see why as we go along. Okay. Verse 2 says this, and the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, this is what I want to say to us. We are soldiers of Christ. We're soldiers, whether you want to be or not. Whether I want to be or not, we are enlisted in the army of the Lord. And this is part of what we have to realize, where we are at in the flow of events at the time of the end. We are in a very important place. We have to stem the tide of evil. Do you know that? Do you believe that?
Yeah. It's coming.
It says here, verse 4, no man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has been chosen to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he's not crowned except that he strive by the rules. See, there are certain rules that we have to follow. It doesn't just happen to us because we're Christians. You get this? Because we recognize that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and we accepted that fact, and we confessed it, and we believed here, right there. We believed here and here. We believe that we are sinners and we're saved by the grace of God, by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. How many of you can say amen to that? Amen. And you know that that is what saves you, right? It's what he did, not what we did, right? We accept, and we're now in the kingdom of God. We have access. The kingdom of God is within us. Right? We now are in a real good place. But we have to play by certain rules. And if we don't go by the rule, what would it be in here for? We have to go by the rules. Right? There's a certain way that we must walk in order to receive the crowns, the rewards, the benefits of walking in a righteous way. We can't just say, because we're Christian, this goes back to a lot with what Richard preached two weeks ago or so. You know? There's a narrow road and there's a big wide road. Right? And, you know, there can be, you can be a Christian, but you can be walking on a broad road that's going to lead to ruin. By your choices, by the way you choose, what you do in your life. Is that right? I want this point to get really, you know, struck home. Because I think this is important. I think what Reggie preached was the beginning of something that I think is going to carry right in here. We have to be much more serious about our walk with the Lord. Not in a somber way. Not, you know, let's trudge along here with God. No, there's an excitement in my heart for what is out there in front of us, because he is going to give us the grace to be able to do the things that are that we're supposed to do in what's happening in this world. And what's happening in this world is not good things. I was laying in bed for the last couple of days, coughing and hacking, and Kathy came in and she had the computer on. There was a drudge report, and man, one thing after another. It was just one bad thing after another. And after a while, you go, oh my gosh, I've had enough of this. You know, but those things aren't going to go away, and those things are going to end up affecting us at some point in time, whether it's in a financial way, or if you hadn't heard, our president wants to circumvent the Second Amendment and do some executive orders about the Second Amendment. I mean, that could affect a number of people's lives, every single one of ours. Really? I mean, there's all kinds of things. Now, we see these things happening, and we can react in fear, we can react in anger, we can react in a number of different emotions, all of which I've done. And I've decided, you know, it's about time that I react the right way.
You're not alone.
You know, a little more maturely. A little more, you know, otherwise I won't have a TV in another week or so. A little more maturely. Really. It is time for the church, much of the church, to grow up and not be babes in Christ that only want to hear good things. We have to be mature to be able to handle the good and the bad.
Yes,
sir. Don't we?
Yes.
Okay. So I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. You guys know what this is all about. You know, I wrote this down as John sang it, that new song that John sang. Part of it was, deliverance from our enemies, no longer a slave. Now we're going to talk up here a little bit about our enemies are not the people that are out there in this world. You understand that? Our true enemies are the spirits that these people have opened themselves up to. That's where the true battle is. Now, if there are people who hold to evil so much that they do become your enemy, your enemy and mine. David, King David said, I hate those who hate you, Lord. Oh, we're not supposed to hate anybody. Oh, really? You can have a godly hatred. I know this goes against the way some people feel, you know. But I'm telling you, you can hate evil. And if a person holds on to it, you can't differentiate because they have identified with that spirit. You can't get away from it. That doesn't mean I'm not going to still pray for people to be delivered from that stuff. But don't tell me I'm going to like them. I'm going to love them in the respect of praying for their souls. Yeah? I know, I'm not very loving guy. All right. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to start in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Because this isn't going to happen because of us. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not war against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now I want to say this and emphasize the fact that that's the battle, that's the war that you and I are in. We are. The enemy is there, looking whom he can devour. He's looking all around to see who he can destroy. And he'll do it in little tiny steps. Or he'll try to come in and smash you with tragedy or some other kind of thing.
He can be your friend, too.
He can try to be your friend. That's right. He can look good sometimes.
Yeah.
Did you want to say that?
I just want to say that, you know, again, the Bible is a book of balance.
It is.
It's a book of balance. And it's really a matter of staying in touch with God the most you can. Because there's times where we are to battle, And there are times that we are to love.
That's right.
And so it goes in both forms. And the only way you can know which form that is by being in touch with God as much as you can. Because He's going to tell you, okay, this is a person you need to love more to bring them to me. Or this is the type of person you need to push away to bring them closer to me.
Yep.
So it's a matter of discerning, and it's really important that this year coming up, that we discern in a good way, and we need to be in touch with God all the way.
Yes, amen. Since you brought this up here, I'm going to jump to a scripture, and then I'm going to come back to Ephesians, so you can just hold on to Ephesians. I'm just going to run over to Hebrews again. And I want to read you something else. Is going to go a little bit later on, but I think this will be a good time. All right, this is for all of you that are writing things down. This is Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. And it says this in verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. There's lots of baby Christians. They're babes. They don't want to hear about righteousness. They don't want to hear that they need to mortify and change who they are. You know that? God accepts us where we're at. But God doesn't want you or me to stay there.
Amen.
We've said this, I don't know how many times. He doesn't want us to stay as a baby. You know, the way we first came to Christ. If I look back on my life and look at what I was like when I first became a Christian, thank God I've changed. I would not want to be the same way. Would you?
No.
God expects us to grow up into Him. Right? And this right here is saying that if all that people do is just swim around the same scriptures, swim around not really getting to know one another, swim around and just have a very casual fellowship, it's going to remain babies. There's lots of Christian churches, they're a bunch of babies. They don't want to hear the word of righteousness. They don't want to hear about holiness. They don't want to hear about stepping up and getting out of themselves and binding that fear that holds you back from being who you're supposed to be in Christ. Is there anybody here that doesn't want to be everything that God wants you to be? I'm going to put my hand up. I mean, every single person, you want to be everything that God wants you to be, don't you? And it's about time we put a little stick of dynamite, you know, and get up and say, God, we need one another. It isn't just one or two or four or five people that are going to make a difference. It's going to take the whole body of Christ moving in and being who we're supposed to be. And that takes some dynamite under our behinds.
Yes.
And you and I can make those choices. Begin to make those choices today, too. God, I don't want to be the way I am. Just kind of sitting back. Just kind of waiting. I want to be able to hear you. God, open up my ears so that I can hear.
Yes.
So I know it's you. Now watch this. So then in verse 14 it says, but strong food belongs to them that are mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There's that discernment thing. To be able to know what is good and what is evil. It isn't just the overt, somebody's murdering somebody, that's evil. You know, there's lots of things that are, I come up with all kinds of examples, I guess, on the political realm. There's a lot of deceit in the political realm. There's a lot of corruption in the political realm. Not just in the United States, all around the whole world.
Yeah.
The people that are there, they're a bunch of corrupt. They're corrupt.
Yeah.
Lord Acton, if you know who he is, Lord Acton is right. He said, power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. And people get in places of power, and this is what happens to them. And we need to remember that fact, don't we? But boy, I'll tell you what, I think we need to know the difference between good and evil. On a different level than what we know now. Oh yeah, we know the difference between good and evil in certain realms. But we're getting fooled, we're getting snookered in so many ways. And we don't even realize it. Commercials on TV are luring your mind in a particular direction, and we don't even recognize it until we're far down the line, huh?
Yeah.
It's about time, isn't it? Isn't it about time that the church lived at a different place? Do you want to live at that different place? Yeah. You and I can choose that. How about that? Or do you not want to hear that? Would you rather just hear milk? Because you're going to get meat. You're going to get mature food to eat. And that's important for us. If we're unless we exercise ourselves in the meat of the word, how are we going to be able to discern between good and evil? If we don't even want it. If we just want the milk. Right? Okay, now we're going to go back to Ephesians. You with me here? Everybody okay? Okay. So, it says here in verse 13 now. Ephesians 6:13. It says, therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. In other words, can you be a good soldier and play by your own rules? You don't need the armor of God. I'm going to do it my way. No, there's a certain thing. You and I have to put on the armor of God if we're going to be a good soldier. We're not going to be a good soldier just because we're a Christian. Just because we said, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. That doesn't make us a good soldier. That makes us a born-again believer.
Yes.
Right. We have to be honored.
And so we need that honor. And then it goes on and says this. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, which means to resist, in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Let me get to something here. Yeah. That word withstand also means to oppose. Okay? When evil is creeping in so many different ways into a community, into the nation, and we just keep our mouths shut. Are we opposing anything? If all we do is complain about it, complain the bad trends that are happening, are we opposing? Oh no. No, there needs to be a greater time in your home life and in the life of the church where we stand against those things that are evil in this world. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
It says then, to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. This is only come by the grace of God. Truth. Everybody knows what that is. Because it's the opposite of lies. How many lies Has the enemy spoken to you from the time you were a little kid about yourself, about other people? And because you were so unaware, I was so unaware of certain, that was even happening, I accepted those lies. You accept those things about yourself, about somebody else, about the church, about God. We have, I bet you that within this good group of mature Christians here, that we have a lot of different understandings about God. And that might not all be true. You know, that's a little scary. We need to be girt about with truth. Now, that's the belt. To be girt about the loins is right here, right? And what they did was they had this sash or a belt around their robes, right? If they started running in their robes, they had a good chance of tripping and falling, their feet catching on the bottom of the robe. So they would hoist up their robes and cinch up the belt tires, so now they could run. Now they could move and be people of action. And that's what this is talking about. If you don't have truth, you're not moving in the right direction. You're not going to move swiftly or the way that you need to without tripping all over yourself. Because the lie will trip you up. Is that right?
Yes.
I hope you're getting this. It's important for us that we begin to understand what's really true about you? And what's true about the body of Christ, about the Lord, about His second coming, about this and about that. We need to get a little more of that. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
It's high time for us to step it up. I think. I know for me. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. If you're not seeking righteousness, your heart is going to be shot at or stabbed. You better have the breastplate of righteousness on. You better be pursuing living a good life. Amen?
Amen.
Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, what is the gospel of peace? This sounds like it's contradictory to this whole section about warning. What's the gospel of peace doing here? Huh? What do you think? Don't you, as a warrior, need to be at peace in your heart? Not just reacting to things. I react to things too quickly. Something comes on TV, or somebody says something, and I have a reaction. I need to be at peace more.
Another lie.
You know? Yeah, because the lie comes right in there. Oh, they said that because they're trying to do this, or they don't like you, or, you know, the lie comes in. When we're fearful or anxious or not understanding something, how many times have you misunderstood your spouse? Once? And I know, I smile and I giggle about this too. But I want to tell you something. Those things end up leading to problems if you don't really take care of things. And so I think we don't want to continue being like that. All right, I don't understand the question. We don't want to do this. And we tolerate it and we just kind of, that's just being who we are. I don't want to be who I am right now. Well, I like myself. But I don't like myself. You have to have that kind of lope in your walk with God. You got to love yourself, but you can't be satisfied with yourself. Right? Because there's more to go. And what I like is this whole, this thing's all covered with grace. All covered with God giving us the ability to do whatever it is that we have to do. God giving us the ability to discern between good and evil. God being able to give us the discernment to know what's true and what isn't true. What is a lie and what's not a lie. What is of the truth. Because that's what we have to have that around us, or we're not going to go very far. We're going to get tripped up. We're going to trip over our robes. Verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith is so important. Because the enemy still knows us pretty good. He's pretty smart. He's pretty wild. And he knows how to say things, do things, bring something into your life that's going to knock you off your feet. He knows how to do that. And you know what it's going to take? It's going to take trust in the Lord.
Amen.
That when things, you know, sometimes we pray and we just expect everything just to turn around just like that. And it doesn't. And it even gets worse sometimes before it starts getting better. You know? It even can get worse. And that's a testing of our faith, isn't it?
Right.
Am I going to trust God even though things don't look so good? You know?
Yeah.
You feel that way?
Yeah.
And we have to get to that place where, no, my faith is in the Lord. And it's not in what I see, it's what God says. Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
And I think all of us, I know I need this really badly, you know, because, you know, being in academics and, you know, having all this head stuff, you know, I look at things analytically. Oh, this is what's happening. I can see it with my eyes. And it's so easy just to fall on that when God says something different about who you are. What's about who I am when I see myself in a whole different light. I was saying to Kathy something this morning, and, you know, you might see me in one light, but I see myself in a whole different light. I really do. And, well, where's the truth in that? I better find out. You know? And you need to find out. Take the helmet of salvation. I'll stop there. That's your head, right? Covers your head, the helmet. What do you need the helmet of salvation for?
To hold on to the word of God inside your head. And to have my
helmet. Yeah, and why does he say salvation? The helmet of salvation. Why doesn't he say the helmet of the word? Why doesn't he use some other kind of thing? Helmet of salvation, because you need to know. If you've accepted Christ, you need to know that you're saved. You need to know that. You need to be confident of that fact. You know that? The helmet of salvation protects you from when the enemy comes in and he lures you into some stupid sin. He trips you up. And then you, I've said this song fairly recently. Am I really saved?
It's another lie.
I act like that. Am I really, you know, am I really safe? Because look at what I'm doing. Huh? No. Don't play around. Don't let the enemy play around with that. You know if you've accepted Christ into your life.
Uh-huh.
Don't you?
Right.
Yeah,
there's no salvation.
And that helmet of knowing that you are saved, bought with a price, it's not what you've done, it's what he's done,
Amen.
Is a great helmet over your head. which allows you then, instead of warring with yourself, you can get to the business. Yeah? Because that's what the enemy's trying to do. Get your head turning around, wondering if, am I saved? Am I not saved? What does it mean about that? Let's get, can we settle that?
Yeah.
If there's anybody? I know that everybody probably gets hit with that at some point in time. Maybe not as much as some others, but, it still can hit you. The enemy's looking for any way he can to knock you out of the game, to knock you out of the war, because he knows that together we're pretty darn powerful. Okay. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And this comes back to something that Reggie said earlier too. And that is, he said, the word that we have, there's a balance there. There's a time for love and there is a time to hate. There's a time for peace and there's a time for war. Right?
Yes.
It's there. And so what is it then? This sword of the Spirit, that word, it says word, which is the Word of God. That word is the word rhema. Do you know what rhema means? The word for right now. It's the present word that God wants to bring. That's why he can talk about war at one time and talk about peace at another. Why he can say one thing one time and say something completely different the next time. It's the rhema word that's important for us to hear. That's what the sword is going to do for you. Is when you are hearing and are inspired by God to use the word, I am not discouraged. I am not discouraged today. I take authority over those thoughts. You ever do that? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You take the word and you use it in the rhema, in the right now. You destroy those lies. And you do it with the Word of God.
It's our only offensive weapon.
It is. That's the offensive weapon. And we can go after Satan that way. This is how we bind and loose things. And then it goes on there in verse 18. Praying always, losing my voice. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Prayer life got to come up. And you can say, yeah, I'm going to do that. And we can say, yeah, I'm upping my prayer life. But you know what? Unless you really do that, you're still back. You're still going to be back in some other land. You're not going to be able to handle what's coming. You won't. Now, I know that some of you think that, well, God will just get me through. That's his intent.
Right.
His intent is, God, you want to get me through. But you know what? I have to listen and I have to be obedient. Isn't that right?
Yes. Yeah. We'll get you through, but it may not be the way you want.
You'll get through at the end. At the very end of things, you'll make it into heaven. But you might have a darn rough road. There are some people that are Christians that have bounced along a pretty darn rough road most of their life. And there's others that it doesn't seem to go quite as bad. Wonder why that is. Somebody's listening and somebody isn't. They're still both going to be saved. They're going to be in heaven. But because of choices, attitudes, somebody bumps through life a little differently than somebody else. Here's another thing I want to make sure that you understand. The people that are in your life, in your family, church family, the people that you work with, They affect you too. Yeah. You got to remember that. Because you might think, well, gee whiz, I'm trying to be as good as I can be as a Christian, and I'm really bouncing around here like crazy. What the heck's going on here? Well, maybe it's coming in from other sources. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's where your prayer life needs to get directed. God's there to show you. It isn't just, the magic wand isn't just going to come out and everything's going to be fine. We're going to have to deal with these. Yes, go ahead.
As Christians, we get attacked more too.
Of course we do.
Yeah.
Because we're the ones that are going to have the big effect on Satan if we get our act together and begin to pray against what he's doing in your own life, in the life of your family, in the life, you know, in the life of the church, whatever, in the life of the nation. We can make a difference. And God, this nation needs a difference right now.
You know, you said that talking about the balance of the word,
yeah.
You know, talking about choices and how that will affect, you know, whether we're bouncing along, getting lead, you know, or bouncing along, not so happy. But I think also, sometimes I look at people who are having a difficult time, but their spirits are so desirous to do what God wants them to do, and it's an example to us.
Yeah.
You know.
There's so much that enters in. I'm not saying the entirety of why somebody's bouncing through life or having situations happen to. There's lots of.
There's a million.
Too many things. Mm-hmm. Too many caveats there. But still, in a general sense, you and I can change lots of things by knowing what's the source of some of the darkness, and being able to then address that in a more pinpoint way.
Because he's pruning us too.
Yeah. To be able to hear, and to hear and then to obey him. Right?
Yeah.
God, this is a mind-blowing thing, and I'll end with this. God can do anything he wants to sovereignly. But he doesn't do everything sovereignly. In fact, he seems to touch me with his spirit as much from my brothers and sisters saying something to me as I do when I hear it myself. Does that happen to you?
Absolutely.
You know, he says, Jeremiah 51. Look it up if you want to. Jeremiah 51, I think it's verses 20 to 22 or 3. And he says, you are my war club. What? You want to use me to engage in battle? Yeah, he does. He can do it himself, but he wants us to be part of this whole thing. Pulling down strongholds. Yeah, he does. He wants you, little old you and me, to have a mature enough walk with him that we're pulling down strongholds. Right? Taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We can do this. And I think it'd make a big difference with what's going on in this nation. We can change things around.
I want to say one thing about you. When you talk about Rhema, it's very important that we get the concept of Rhema, because in the outside world, people who don't understand the Rhema word, what they'll do is they'll take the Bible and they say, look, it contradicts itself all the time. And if you don't understand what Rhema is and how come it contradicts, then they're gonna utilize that against you, and you're going to get confused yourself into what truth is and what truth is not. So don't be deceived by that, and make sure you understand that you get that concept of Rhema, because it's a very important concept.
It sure is.
Yeah.
Amen. Lord, we take what you want to give in this message, Lord, for myself, for my family, for my church family, and for their families, Lord. I pray that we would be people that would eat on the meat of the word, that we would choose and determine in our hearts through the power and grace of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to bring us to the place where we move higher up and deeper in you. More love, more power, more of you in our lives, Lord. That, we mean that when we sing those words. So help us, Lord. We look forward to your coming. We thank you for your love, for your grace, for all of the gifts that you give us, the people that we're surrounded by. Thank you so much, God. And I ask now, Lord Jesus, that you would grace us with this word. And grace us, Lord, with your presence this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.